Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots. Today's podcast, we are talking about a famous painter that you probably know and probably love as well, because he has some great work. And that is Vincent Van Gogh. Shannon, how are you feeling about today's episode?
I'm feeling good. So, you know, we record a few weeks or a couple weeks ahead of time. So you already know that we're back from vacation, but us personally are actually back from vacation.
That is right. Did you enjoy your vacay time?
I did. And I feel a little out of practice. I feel like I have to get back into the swing of things, but we are here and I'm excited for this episode, which you suggested. So thank you.
Yes. So there is a little bit of a mystery when it comes to Van Gogh's death, and we're going to talk about it and kind of what led up, not really what led up to the events, but was it more than just what we believe, which is a possible suicide? Like, could there have been some
other things at play?
Yes, exactly. So we're going to dive into it today and figure that out together. If you guys want to let us know what you guys think, let us know at Bare Roots Pod Instagram, which we've been very active during our break.
Yeah, we have.
If you want to know our top five podcast episodes from season one and two, definitely go check out our Instagram, because we are sharing all that insider information. That way you can catch up if you haven't on those episodes, because those are some pretty good ones, honestly. I listened to a few, even a second time, a little bit later, and they're quality episodes.
It's the people's choice.
It is the people's choice, and I agree with them. Alrighty, should we just dive into this mysterious man of Van Gogh?
Yeah, let's do it. So Vincent William van Gogh was born March 30th, 1853 in the Netherlands. He had four younger siblings, but he was the closest to his brother Theo. And despite his good grades, he left secondary school before graduating. He then became an art apprentice at the age of 16, and he worked with, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Goupil en Cie. I don't know Dutch even a little.
Yeah, I think you're right on the C part. The Goupil, I think you're right too.
Sure, we'll just go with it. His uncle was a partner at that firm. And he worked with that company. He worked from London to Paris, where he was dismissed from the company in 1876, just 2 days after his 23rd birthday. So I was reading previous to that, when he was 20, he was actually making more money than his father was.
Wow.
But things shook out differently. He, as you probably are aware, Vincent van Gogh suffered from a lot of mental illness. So I think that had a part in his dismissal as well.
Mm-hmm.
In 1881, Vincent moved back with his parents, who were concerned about his career. And Theo, again, his younger brother, he also worked for the same art company, and he climbed through the ranks and became manager and would help Vincent with money.
You know what I love about Van Gogh is that even though it's 1876, he sounds like a millennial. He sounds like us, where we don't know what we want to do. You know, it's after college, like, what job am I going to do? I just want to be successful. Or maybe you're just, you have so much money of debt. So you're like, I got to move in with my parents, you know, the fun's over. Uh-huh. And I think we can all relate to Van Gogh in that sense.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of us don't have brothers that will pay for our whole livelihood.
That's true. That is true.
Which he did. Vincent didn't take him for granted. He did. They were kind of like best friends, is what it seems like. Very, very close. And in 1884, he wanted to start to pay Theo back for all of this. And he started creating paintings for Theo to sell. But unfortunately, like so many great artists, he was not appreciated during his time. And, you know, because his style is a little bit out there. obviously. Mm-hmm. We know Starry Night and just swirling. And originally he did a lot of darker, more monochromatic paintings, but as he got exposed to different art forms, he got more colorful, and that's kind of the paintings that we know of today. Over the next 5 years, he started a failed art collection where he created paintings in styles that, again, he is known for today. And the bright colors, the short strokes, the self-portrait, the city scenes, all the ones that we know about. The progress of his heart. Alina's just killing a fly in the background.
This is such a chaotic episode. Totally just trying to kill an already dying fly. Okay. Sorry. We're back.
Did you get him?
I did.
Okay, good. So during this time, as his art is progressing, his mental health is actually declining. And in 1888, he severed his own ear. And, you know, this is famous. This is kind of what he's known for. He severed his own ear and wrapped it up as a present to allegedly a sex worker. There is another theory that she was actually a cleaner of the brothel and not a prostitute herself. Whatever you want to believe, but it doesn't really matter who she was, because he still gave her his ear. Yep. And that's the real point we need to hit on.
Yeah, exactly. It was a weird gesture.
Yes. He later went to the hospital until 1888, and eventually he admitted himself to a psychiatric hospital in May. And I didn't know this at all, that he made some of his most famous works in the hospital.
Same. I had absolutely no idea. Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't want to say it makes sense, but no one talks about it. Again, like you said, no one really mentions that's where he created his most famous paintings. And we'll dive into those.
Yeah, literally, it's Starry Night out the window of his room in the psychiatric hospital.
Which is so crazy. Isn't that, it just blows my mind. That was his view outside of the hospital. And the irises.
Yeah, the irises came from that too. Mm-hmm. And the almond blossom came from that. Insane. Yep. I also didn't know that it was almond blossoms, and I did think it was cherry blossoms.
Yeah, same. I thought it was cherry blossoms as well. And Shannon got me this beautiful cover like a while ago. It was of the almond blossom for my Kindle. And I love that. That's probably one of my favorite paintings, like in general, from any artist.
Whenever I see it, I do think of you.
Yes, I always thought it was cherry blossoms too. But yeah, I guess it's almond blossoms. But still, that painting is near and dear to my heart. And so thank you for giving me that gift so many years ago.
You're welcome. I thought it was interesting that he was even given an extra room at the psychiatric hospital to be used as his studio. Which I don't really know how he managed to do that. That's pretty freaking nice.
I can only imagine how therapeutic it must have been for him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and trying to help him out.
Like, I wonder if his brother had to pay extra for that, or if they were just sympathetic, or I don't know. He went in and out of having progress and then relapsing in the hospital. And he did have a suicide attempt in the hospital. He ingested some paint, but luckily the doctors were able to get him back on good health, but he was limited to drawing for a time after that. In January of 1890, Theo and his wife had a baby, and they named him after Vincent. And when he heard that, he sent them the almond blossom as a gift for the new nephew.
Which is, again, I had no idea that was even a gift. That painting that I love, that's near and dear to my heart.
I know. I wonder if nurseries were a thing at that point, 1890? Yeah, probably. But can you imagine having the original? I mean, he wasn't famous at this point, but can you imagine having the original almond blossom in your nursery?
Wow. Oh, yeah. Also, can we just give some credit to Theo? I mean, for the fact
that... Oh, my God.
Okay, not even is he... financially supporting him, at least like in the earlier days, like trying to give him a job and trying to connect him with people and just trying to take care of him. But also through the toughest part probably of his life, which is, you know, being at the hospital, he still sticks by his brother's side and pays homage to his own son and names him after Vincent. Like, I feel like back then, I feel like it must be so taboo to have someone who has mental illness in your family. I would imagine you don't want to be connected to that. Like, probably people would be embarrassed back then. So the fact that he embraced it and then again, like I said, named his son after him is just like, I love Theo.
Theo's great.
Yeah, Theo's wonderful. So supportive. We all need a Theo in our life, you know?
We all need a Theo in our lives. Vincent actually made about 150 paintings in the psychiatric hospital.
It's insane.
In that 1 year he was there, 150 paintings. That's really wild.
Yeah. That's like finishing, what, a painting almost every 2 days?
Yeah.
If you're there for a year. Which, yeah, that is very fast. And we've taken painting classes.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
took us longer than 2 days to make something.
And he had so many different colors that the amount of colors he'd have to mix, it would mm-hmm. it's a long time. At this point, they were starting to be shown in exhibits and they were receiving positive reviews. And after being released from the hospital, again, he was there for about a year. He moved to an area outside of Paris with other artists. This new place wasn't far from Theo, which is great. And Theo told him that he was considering opening up his own business. This, along with the fact that Theo just had a son, it was kind of weighing on Vincent, or people think that it was weighing on Vincent and kind of feeling burdened like on his brother. And he wasn't sure if his brother was going to have enough money to support him anymore. He wasn't sure if the new business slash, you know, like taking on that risk would impact his financial situation. And it was just a lot on Vincent. And on July 27th, 1890, Vincent was staying at an inn where the owner, Gustave Ravoux, went to go check on him, Vincent. And he found him curled up in his bed with a bullet wound in his stomach. And he later passed away with his brother by his side. He left behind nearly 1,300 works of art on paper. Wow, just on paper. And then more than 850 paintings. There was no autopsy, and it was unclear the exact location of the shooting. There were 5 hours unaccounted for, but he did pass away at the age of 37.
Yeah, it's so sad. And it's just a tragic way to go, especially being so young and so talented. Imagine all of the paintings that, or even the drawings, the artwork in general that could have been produced if he had already had 1,300. In his collection.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't like he was making paintings when he was super young. So that's not that amount of time that he accumulated that much.
Right. And also it's really sad to think that, I mean, he had a little bit of success, you know, towards the end, but he really, I don't think, you know, got to understand the tremendous impact that he has on the art world and the fact that he's so famous now. And how many people love his stuff, and that even a museum is named after him.
Oh yeah, there's a whole museum about him. There's, you know, his work is some of the most recognizable around the world. People know, exactly. You know, everybody knows Starry Night.
Exactly. So it's really sad to see that he had such a troubled, you know, history with himself, and that it's just a
difficult life. Yeah.
Yeah, just a sad way to go for such a talented man.
Yeah, 100%.
So that is what is on the record. And for the most part, this is what like most people believe. And even for myself, I didn't realize there was kind of a controversial ending to his life. But as Shannon talked about at the end of being on the record, there was no autopsy and it was very unclear on the exact location of the shooting. And because he was in his hotel room by himself, just like, you know, essentially dying away, there really was nobody to like check on him immediately when all of these things were happening. So it is a little suspicious, and we're going to talk about two major theories that exist with his death right after our commercial break. All right, thank you so much for listening to our sponsor. And right now we're going to get into our first theory. So the first theory was the common one that we all kind of know, and I think a lot of people agree on, and that he was a troubled art genius who shot himself in a wheat field. So according to Adeline Raveau, so the guy who owns the inn, his daughter, she said that she saw him go towards the wheat field where he had painted before. So, you know, he's probably doing a nice nature pic, which is not far-fetched from the drawings and paintings that he has. And apparently that is where he shot himself. But of course, we know that that's really where he severely injured himself, because it wasn't until later where he walked from wherever he was back to the inn, leaving the gun behind. So we just know that he was injured somewhere. Again, allegedly it was in this wheat field, but we really only know the ending of that, which was him in his bed. And so it was just kind of weird, because people were wondering what happened to the gun, like what happened to this weapon. But Vincent apparently said to these people, "I wounded myself in the field. I shot myself with a revolver there." And he also added, "Do not accuse anyone." He said, "It is I who wanted to kill myself." So he was very adamant about this. Like, he was not trying to say like someone shot me or anything. He was like, "This is the way that I want to go. And I did this, and this is where I was. And it was this weapon." It was almost like a game of Clue, actually. Like, you know, I was in this field with this weapon, like da da da. So, I mean, who's to argue with the man who's saying all this stuff, right? People are thinking, could it possibly be from the fear of his, you know, soon to be unemployed brother's life had driven him to kill himself that one hot afternoon? As we mentioned before, there was definitely a risk for Theo to be taking on a business of his own. Just because you have a business doesn't mean that you're going to be successful. You're going to make a bunch of money. There's that risk of failing, which is very, very strong. And Theo was really his financial guide. So the fact that he was willing to do that, maybe that's what really stressed him out. And then people talk about the position of where he was shot. So the position was well below his abdomen, which is an odd position to take if he had been aiming for his heart. Also, the bullet did not exit Vincent's body, which suggests that there might have been some distance between his body and the gun. So people are just wondering if he really was trying to hurt himself, why the stomach? That just seems more painful and slow than it would be if you were to do it in like a more direct area. And also, could there have been somebody else? People also think that his wound would have been a lot bloodier than when he returned back to the inn. Like, what's up with that? People are wondering. And at that time, like talking about the weapon itself, no one knows where Vincent would have gotten the gun. Revolvers were also very hard to get at that time. So it's just wondering where it is. And I'm sure his brother was like, "I had no idea." I'm sure with his history, that's something that Theo would make sure that he didn't have at his hands, you know, at his disposal, given his mental health. So it just like doesn't add up 100%. And when people went back to the field to try to find the gun, they couldn't find it at all. And all of Vincent's painting gear seemed to have vanished. So it's like, okay, if you're gonna commit suicide, why is it that you would bring all of your painting gear out to this field and then do it there and then walk all the way home to only just die in your bed, essentially, if you were going to try to do something with your life? Like, people argue it would just make more sense for him just to stay in his room, essentially. And that, like, but where's the weapon? Where is it? Where's his stuff? Other people also add that he was a religious man, and he actually said a bunch of times that he didn't condone it. He didn't think that that was something that he would partake. Well,
I mean, I think he was a religious man, which means that, you know, the church doesn't condone it, but he mm-hmm. did talk about suicide a lot, or he talked about death a lot.
Yes,
in letters yes. and stuff like that.
Yeah, but like he wasn't necessarily like a fan.
I don't know. I think he, you know, he did attempt at least once before. Not to say that he's a fan of it, but he didn't. Certainly the religion he grew up in did not condone it, and you would not yeah. expect him to want to do it, that's for sure.
For sure. And they said that if he did do it, he said he would understand drowning specifically. Huh. So it's just kind of weird that if he did talk about it, why not the thing that he said? You know, why not that tactic? Why, you know, in a revolver in a field? So yeah, so people just think it's a little suspicious, but for the most part, everyone agrees that this is what happened, that he mm-hmm. was in a field, he shot himself, got back to the inn, and he just was slowly dying. But there are definitely some missing weird parts to it that definitely are questionable, but for the most part, like I said, this is the standard.
And I did see something that was talking about how obviously it was a suicide attempt. And basically the reasons that they listed off were that he admitted that he did it. His brother said that he did it. Like nobody questioned it. The doctor said, yeah, he did it. So everybody contemporary said that he did it. And that was kind of that. And it wasn't until a while later, like decades later, that a new theory arose.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that theory was that Vincent was actually shot by some local boys and he tried to protect their identities. So this theory stems from two men. One is Stephen Naife and Gregory White Smith, who were writers. And we have to understand the kind of person Vincent was. Vincent wasn't necessarily one of the commoners. He was a very eccentric man. He had very wild hair, torn clothes. And I mean, of course, he has a missing ear. So definitely stands out, not necessarily in the best way. So people would pick on him. And unfortunately, you know who are the worst bullies? Children. Kids are ruthless and they're so mean.
Yeah.
And they would do a lot of mean things to Vincent. Like they would put salt in his coffee or chili powder on his brushes. So whenever he's like holding a brush in his mouth, trying to like think, he would just get like chili powder all over it. They even put a snake in his painting box. So these kids were cruel. These kids were not nice. And they felt like Vincent was an easy target. And one of the boys was a guy named René Secretan, and he was 16. He actually admitted saying one of our favorite games was to make him angry, which was easy, which is like so sad.
Yeah.
Why do you want to bother poor Vincent? And again, you don't know his history where he's you know, been in the hospital. It's just so, so sad. But René had an older brother who was into art. And Vincent really wanted to maintain like a relationship with his older brother because they were both painters. So it's like same industry, same space, and whatnot. But René, the 16-year-old, was not interested in art at all. Didn't really want to follow his brother's footsteps. He said he was very much interested in hunting and fishing. And after seeing a Western movie, he would dress up all the time as a cowboy in like the full getup. And he even owned a caliber pistol. So he was going for that look. That was him. I kind of picture this like being like a country boy, but like make it French.
Yes.
And Vincent called him Buffalo Pill with like a P because of his accent when trying to say Buffalo Bill, which got the kid really, really mad. And it's just like, oh, like he's trying to be kind of funny and cute, Vincent, but he just has an accent and it's just like really sad. So the theory is that they might have accidentally shot him, the brother and like René, the kid, and collected his artwork to remove the evidence. And apparently there was some evidence that he walked to a certain road, Vincent did, and not to the fields necessarily. And this is a road where Renee enjoyed fishing and the boys were practicing shooting. So could it be that he was in a completely different location, but a location that like the boys always were? And this place is actually closer to the inn versus the mile-long walk from the fields that Vincent would have had to walk from the fields to the inn, which, you know, that is pretty, you know, telling. The boys' family weirdly left town shortly after the incident. Like, what are you guys running away from? And then Renee came back to town without the pistol, which I'm sure is the guy who is trying to dress up as a Westerner and like is probably bragging about his pistol. It's kind of weird to be like, hey, you guys left town and like you don't even have your pistol. Like, what? And when asked about it, he actually said Vincent stole it from him. As recently as 2020, more evidence found that his last painting was Tree Roots, which was along this said road and not wheat field with crows, like what was previously thought. Dun, dun, dun. So where's your tinfoil hat, Shannon? Where does it stand between the two? Because even the Van Gogh Museum still stands by the suicide attempt, saying that he undoubtedly did it. So I don't know. Do we take the what was commonly thought, or are we taking the side of this new theory? Could this be a little bit more of a better explanation for what happened? And that Vincent was actually just a really nice guy who, even though when bullied, was just trying to protect the guys, like knowing that he didn't want to ruin their, you know, their lives, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how I feel. What I kind of think happened was that he was on the road doing his thing and Renee came up giving him a hard time. Vincent was put into a fit of rage and grabbed the gun from him, and maybe there was like a tussle, maybe like we don't know who pulled the trigger, or maybe he took the gun and then like killed himself. Like maybe it's a mix of the two, like he got the gun from the boy but then he killed himself with it. That's because I do have to question, like, if it was difficult to get a gun, then how did he get a gun? And it would kind of, if they were in a fight, it would somewhat explain the odd placement of the bullet wound, although the fact that it didn't leave his body seems weird to me if it was that up close. But I don't really know ballistics, so I think it's still possible, ? But I do think it's a little odd that he, to say that he can make it all the way back from the fields. And I mean, I know that he adamantly says that he killed himself, which again, could be true in my mix of theories. But it's just interesting that he would say, do not accuse anyone.
Yeah.
Because that just seems like, well, nobody was accusing anyone, you know, like you said, you did it. We believe you. Why are you even suggesting that we would accuse somebody?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I could kind of, I think the tinfoil hat is in my hands on that. I think it's kind of a mix of the two because the one on paper has a little bit of loose ends, but I think at its core, it's still correct. I think he just might have gotten the weapon from the boy. What about you?
Oh, I don't know. I think what you said was really nice because it combines the two, because it just, I do find it strange that if he really was gonna commit suicide, I don't know, it just seems like a lot of effort to bring out all of his artwork into this random field only to leave it and then walk back to the inn and then just slowly bleed to death there. I don't know. It just seems a little bizarre to me. And it really would explain the whole timing of it all. The fact that he was actually closer to than they thought compared to the fields. And yeah, like the fact that the boy had the revolver, I could see that because he was bullying and maybe he just like had enough and then like something happened and there was some sort of incidents where it just like, you know, that happened, a shot was made and he was saying like it was myself, like he was just like very much like, it was me, it was me. I don't know, like, if you really were committing suicide and someone found you a few hours later, would you just be saying that? I don't know. And a lot of people say too, like, why didn't he write a note? That seems weird, but I don't know. I don't know. This one's hard for me.
No, it is hard. Yeah. It could be as simple as that, but there are some questions. And I mean, obviously he was mentally ill, so it would make sense for it to not make sense.
but
it's hard to tell.
This one's a tough one. This one, I don't know where my tinfoil hat is. I think overall, if I had to pick one, I would say it was suicide.
Mm-hmm.
He did have like all the mental health history and whatnot. But I am very, I don't know. I think the second theory kind of fills in those missing holes of the first one.
Yeah. Alleged, all alleged. One thing that I did find was that a gun was found in the 60s, I want to say, the 1960s, in the field where he, around 1960, in the field that he may or may not have died in.
Mm-hmm.
A revolver was found.
Ooh.
And in 2019, it sold at auction for $182,000, which, I mean, if it is actually the revolver that killed Van Gogh,
mm-hmm.
not a ton of money, but this is $182,000 for a gun that may or may not have killed, you know what I mean? Like,
just
the possibility that it killed Vincent Van Gogh. So I just wanted to throw that in there because I found that out. It's like, how did this happen? And they were saying that it wasn't far. I mean, it wasn't on top of the grass, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't super deep. Like, it got buried, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that it kind of got dropped. And if somebody had murdered him, you would think that you would, you know, hide the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't just leave it there. But if you wanted to stage it as a suicide, then maybe you would. So it's just a whole thing. But end of that story is that a revolver was found in the field that he allegedly died at. And it may have been the same one.
Yeah, this is so difficult. Because, like, again, there's just so many missing parts to this story. Like, it doesn't seem so cut and dry. Which I had always thought that it was that way. And did you ever see that movie or something? It, like, there's a movie about his life, but it paints him as a very, 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 like, a dark person, right? Like, he was in a dark mental mindset. I think I actually saw it in art class, like in drawing in high school, when our teacher was out or something, and it was like a substitute. And I just remember not liking the movie / not wanting to watch the movie because it was just very, very dark. And, you know, I feel like Van Gogh was a lighter guy. His painting has so many beautiful colors. And if it is true with the second theory, if he really was trying to protect the boys, that is just so sweet. Even when bullied, all the hard times in his life, he still didn't want these boys to, you know, go to jail and ruin their lives. So he was willing to defend them and not get them in trouble, which is just really nice.
Yeah, that would be nice if it's true.
If it's true, that's really nice. What is your favorite Picasso painting or artwork in general?
Oh, I mean, I guess basic and say Starry Night.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. But there is a Van Gogh art exhibit going on in Boston in the winter, like the 3D experience.
Yes, and I would there's really one like out to here. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Yes. I see a bunch of ads on my Facebook, actually, and like Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you guys can all see it. You know, by the time this episode comes out, you guys can go check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think mine would have to be the Almond Blossom one. I love that one. That one just.
Yeah, you have to.
It's my colors, the blue, oh my god, and then the pink, and it gives me like Japanese cherry blossom vibes, and it's just, that is my aesthetic in a painting. That concludes today's episode. We hope you guys enjoyed that. Let us know, truly, as you could see, this was just, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we haven't had a lot of episodes where I haven't been able to figure out, like, where's my tinfoil hat? So Let us know. Follow us on Instagram at Bare Roots Pod, B-A-R-E. We would love to see you there. Let you know when we have a new episode every other Thursday, now that we're changing it up. But thank you all so much for sticking by us. We're so excited for season 3. And stay tuned for spooky season. Woo-hoo! That's right. It's everyone's favorite. So buckle down, because the next episode you hear is going to be the beginning of spooky season.
Woo, can't wait.
All right, everyone. Bye.
Bye.